If you will, turn with me to 1 John. We'll start here. I might go kind of fast. I want to make sure I kind of get these points made. But 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 18. And while you're turning there, let's pray over God's Word. Father, we thank you, Lord. This is the day that you have called us together to come and worship you today, Father. Every day, Lord, you've called us to worship you, to know you more and more. This is a day that we have set aside, Lord, here in the United States of America. We say Sunday is our day to give back to you. And, Lord, we stand here today expecting you. I stand here today expecting you to fill my mouth with your oracles, with what you want me to say, not what I want. I want to step out of the way right here. And, God, you're going to move through me to minister to your people, to feed your people what they need to survive and thrive here in this great country that you have ordained before the foundations of the world. And we will hear today what your Spirit says, and we will act upon it, and we will not be as the heathen that listen to dumb idols. We're going to listen to a God that speaks and a God that hears and a God that moves the atmosphere and makes grace abound to each one of us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. He is the God that I can talk to. Amen. I can talk to God. Amen. Anything. I can open up my heart to him, and he listens, and he hears. And he's there to back me up. Amen. He backs up his word. What I want to talk to you today, I really didn't have a title for the message till I kind of studied through, because it could be so many things in the word that could teach us what we need. But today it was just on Christian growth. I look back at my life of how God has grown me and matured me. And you know what? We're never going to get there until Jesus comes back. But we always need to be in that mode of moving to the next level, going deeper and deeper. And when you go deeper with God, you go higher. You know, you're going down, you're going deeper with him, but he'll take you to a higher plateau where you can see things. And that's where the wisdom of God is. It's in Christ Jesus. In his son. But based on Christian growth, this is, I want to throw these 3 points at you and then we'll come back and talk about them. Egypt represents the land of not enough. That is, Egypt is a type of the world, not enough. Your second point in Christian growth is the wilderness. That's the land of just enough. And that is the wilderness story. And then the third level we'll talk about of Christian growth is the promised land. That's the land of more than enough. That's our ultimate goal. That's God's ultimate goal. But let's go back to Egypt. The children of Israel so talked about wanting to go back to Egypt. But I don't want you to go back. We're just going to think back to Egypt. Let me say that. Let's think back to Egypt. To the world. Just get a picture of where you used to be in the world before Christ. I can go there. You know, we don't live there anymore, but you can always go back there. Because sometimes you need to go back there to get somebody else out. Amen. There's still, even though I'm out of the world, there's still people suffering and lost in this world. The world and the world system has nothing to offer a Christian. 1 John 2:15 through 18, that's where we're at. How many know that John knew what he was talking about? He'd been with Jesus. He'd been put on the Isle. This is before the Isle of Patmos, but he went through some stuff. But he never lost focus of where he came from and who came after him and delivered him. Amen. 1 John 2:15 through 18 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Remember, God is a spirit. And the world is passing away. This earth, this system, this natural system, it's passing away. And the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides, how long?
Forever.
So why would God say, don't love the world? It's not going to last. But he is everlasting. See, when God says something, sometimes your flesh wants to rebel because it don't sound good. But God knows the end from the beginning. He knows the ultimate place He wants us to go as Christians. And it's a good place. It's a God place. It's a place of rest. So get that cross out and crucify the flesh. That's what we've got to do as Christians. This world system, the devil's system, Satan's system, that's what it's all bound upon him because he's the little g, little god of this world when Adam fell. This world system, it wants to drain the very life out of us if we let it. Amen. If we let it. Let's look at Exodus. Exodus means what?
Exit.
Exit. Hey, Daniel, come on up here and preach this message. Exit. Every door has an exit sign. Jesus said, there's no temptation that has been given you that there shall be a way of an escape, an exit out of it. Amen? So don't say when you're tempted and you fall in temptation that it's God tempting you. No, it says when you're drawn away by your lust. Okay, the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh. Christian growth is what we're talking about. Exodus 1:6. Daniel got me fired up. I didn't even go there. Exit. I never had somebody answer that quick. Look out, Dallas. You better jump on that now. Dallas is usually the one that jumps on it at house. Exodus 1. Let me get there. I didn't mark my Bible. I'm going to walk through here with you. Exodus 1, verses 6 through 22. I'm going to read these kind of fast. We're talking about that this world system, if you let it, it can drain the very life out of you. That's what Pharaoh, that's what his plan was here, starting after Joseph in verse 6. And Joseph died, and all his brothers and all that generation, but the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty. Not put exceedingly, an adjective in front of mighty. When God leaves, whoever He puts in front of you, and that person, his time comes, and he passes on, goes on to be with Jesus, they still grew mightily because He was teaching them right. He was teaching them about God. They grew exceedingly mighty, and the Lamb was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt. Key point here, who did not know Joseph. And he said to this people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Verse 10, come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and it happen in the event of war, that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land. Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with the burdens, and they built for Pharaoh's supply cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. What does that sound like? That sounds like persecution. What happened when Jesus left here? They persecuted the church. What happened? They went out and the church just expounded, multiplied, and grew because they're mighty. We serve the mighty God. But they afflicted them more and they grew. So verse 13, so the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor. That's rigor. That's bad. That's burden. Whips, you know, sweat, tears, but also then you got a whip coming behind you on your back. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. There was no peace. There was no rest. There was no joy. You know, finding a job and doing what you're called to do, if you're finding joy in it, I'd say that's God's plan for that. I'm not saying you're not going to have persecution, but you need to enjoy what you're doing. If you're not, you might not be in the right place. They were in the right place, and they were being burdened. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives of them whose one name was Shapara and the name of the other Pua. Don't hold me to these. I'm going on. Verse 16, and he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it's a daughter, then shall he live. I want to go on and read. I want to talk here a minute. But the midwives feared God. Pharaoh said, kill the sons. They feared God. Which is better? To fear man or to fear God? We'll do what God says to do. No matter what this country, what anybody says, if it's not godly, we're going to do what God says. We're going to go His way. Because that's the way to the blessing. Doesn't mean we don't love them, but I love God more. His word is true. They didn't listen. They feared God and did not do, and they saved the men. Verse 18, so the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the children alive, the male children? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. You're not like the world. Christians, we're not like the world. Right? We're different. We do things different. We hear from God and we do it His way. Therefore, God dealt with the midwives and the people multiplied and grew very mightily. Pharaoh still has a little bit of common sense. He dealt right with them women because they did the right thing. They feared God. And it was because that the midwives feared God that Pharaoh even provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born, you shall cast him into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. God's people wouldn't do what the king wanted him to do. He had to go back to his own people, and they killed every male child that was born. They cast him into the river. And you know what? That's terrible. But it's no different than things that's happened in our history from then on out. You look at Hitler, Adolf Hitler, the things that were done. See, the devil, he has no new tricks. They're just wrapped in a different package and passed along. But God's people, when we fast and hear from God, we will do what God says to do. Amen. Because we fear God, we love God, we respect God, and we trust God. Amen. The world has nothing for a Christian. Once you come out of the world, see, Pharaoh didn't know Joseph. Therefore, he didn't know God, the God that Joseph served. People who do not have a relationship with God or are not born again, because you've got to get born again to have that relationship, they should not be the people that we spend our time with. People who do not have a relationship with God should not be the people that we spend all of our time with. Now, I'm not saying we don't spend time to witness to them, but make sure you have the power to witness to them. If you're weak in something, don't go back to somebody that's stronger in that temptation you fell in. Don't think that in yourself you can witness to that person and bring them out. No, you pray about it. You get God's wisdom on it, and then you witness to that person. I've been there. Since I got born again, I was ready to go tackle the world, go back into that world I came out of, and go get some people free. Moses did that on his own strength, and it cost him another 40 years in the wilderness, in bondage, because he tried to do it his way, in his strength. He didn't have God's wisdom. I've been there. I've done that. I spoke to my brother in ways I shouldn't have, my physical brother, and it cost him, it cost me, it cost God time in that to work on his heart because I wanted to do it my way. And God will let you step out of the way and let you do it your way. And he'll let you fall on your face, not that he wants you to, but because he wants you to listen to him. As a parent, we do the same things. We've got to do the same things. If we're always there to spoon-feed our children, there will always be babies looking for daddy to spoon-feed them. We have to step aside and give them the meat, let them fall on their feet, and then watch God bring them up. They got to hear his voice. Amen? This 430 years of bondage that they were under, it caused the Hebrews to lose hope in God. Don't think that we're no littler or we're no greater that we can't. If we go into bondage to this world, we will eventually lose hope in God. Now, I'm not saying that to a negative confession. I'm saying it will happen. The Bible says that evil communication corrupts good manners. If God said it, it'll happen. But all the while this was going on, all this bondage, 400 years, 430 years, God was raising up a deliverer. I see a lot of deliverers in here that God has been raising up. All this stuff, all this thing that's happening in the world, God knew it was coming. And he's raising up kids, generations. I'm one of them. You're one of them. To deliver people out of this mess. Amen. It might be at Troutman's Barbecue. It will be at Troutman's Barbecue. It will be at the post office. It will be working on appliances, working for general. If wherever God has us, he has raised us up to be deliverers, to be the Moses, to be the voice speaking for God. Amen. And that's the church. Friendship with the world will always bring you into bondage. Friendship with the world, with Egypt. And with that bondage, you can expect this to follow. Pain, sickness, poverty, and you will lose your hope. Because when that starts working in your life, you will lose hope. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 13:12, if Kelsey gets there quicker than me, she might. Let me know when it's there, when you see them. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart what? Out of the issue of the heart, the mouth speaks. You'll start speaking sickness and defeat and death and poverty. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. When God's desire comes, when His desires come, Jesus is the tree of life. Then you will have the hope, and you will operate on that hope. You will live in hope, and you'll live in victory. But don't think that you can take communication and be hooked up with the world and live in the blessings of God. It ain't going to happen. Doesn't mean God does not love you no less, but He cannot lie. He cannot lie. Amen. He's no respecter of a person, but He is a respecter of faith. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But think about this. Think of when the Egyptians, all their hope was gone. 430 years, their hope is gone. They're working for Pharaoh, this taskmaster. They're killing all the male children of God's people. Drowning them in the river. Don't even give them a chance. Straight from birth into the river. God received everyone into His kingdom. Amen. And He's been raising them up. Raising them up to come back here on the earth one day and get to enjoy this creation until God creates a new heaven and a new earth. But think about it. God brought death, after all that, God brought death to Egypt's firstborn. You reap what you sow. Pharaoh reaped what he had a chance. All that calamity that came, he had a chance to let God's people go. Let them go worship and honor God. And he chose not to. God told Moses what he was going to have to do before he went. Because he knew Pharaoh's heart. He knew he would not turn because he did not know God. But we know God. The Christian grows. We know Him, and we got to get to know Him more. But God brought to the death the firstborn of Egypt, but He instituted the Passover and gave birth to His child. Amen. That's you. That's me. The Passover instituted is a type and shadow of Christ, the church, the people that God would deliver. God's always in the business. There's always going to be deliverance needed until Jesus comes. Amen. He instituted the Passover, so that Christian goes, that land of Egypt, I've been there, I was in the world, but then I got born again. That's your first step, Christian growth. You've got to get born again. And we've got to let people know that you need to be born again. They're living in the world, but they're a corpse walking around because there's no life of God on the inside of them. They're in pain, they're suffering, they're in sickness, and there's all kind of depression, and there's no hope without God. They might say they have hope, but they don't have Bible hope. They don't have hope in these promises. They're hoping and believing on what they're seeing their parents live out. And if they're not living with God, it's a hope that's going to defer them to be sick. Be poverty. The devil's going to steal from them. So that's the first step, getting born again. Our second step of Christian growth is the wilderness. And we know the picture, the Exodus. They exited Egypt, and they were... The ultimate goal was the promised land. Now, God had given Moses the vision. This is where we're going to go. This is where you're at. This is what you're going to do. And this is where you're going. He didn't tell him all the in-betweens. You don't need to know all the in-betweens because if you do, you'd get in fear before you go, right? I mean, if I had to speak to a Red Sea and trust that I was going to go through the middle of it, guess what? Aaron, I think God's speaking to you when he called me. I say, Aaron, I think God was speaking to you. You know, because, hey... But you know what? That's God's part. All that, the miracles and stuff, that's His part. The wilderness, land of Egypt, is a land of not enough. Without Christ, there's nothing. I can't do anything. I thought I could, but that was in my own strength. The wilderness, the land of just enough, I got born again. I'm following my pastor. I'm following the pastor, the shepherd I'm under, and I'm learning. I got the fire on the inside of me, but I don't have no... wisdom about what to do. Remember the story of manna. How God told Moses, he's going to have this little thing appear, and for 6 days you're going to bring it in, you're going to make bread, cakes, whatever you can make out of it. Just be creative on what you can do. They knew how to cook. Now God's going to provide them with the substance, and they was going to make whatever they could think out of it to eat off of. Food from heaven. It actually represented Jesus, the bread of life. It was going to sustain them. But on 7 days, you would bring it in for 6 days, but on the seventh day, you would not go out, because if you did, it ain't going to be there. Because God said, I'm going to give you enough on the sixth day, double enough, to where you don't have to go out on the Sabbath day. You can just rest and enjoy. Is there anything that they had to do to receive that manna? They had to believe and they had to receive. That's it. Just do what the man of God says. We know the story. Even after, let's go ahead and look in Exodus 16. Should have stayed there. It's close to the front. Genesis and Revelation, those are the first easiest two books to get in the Bible. I bet Daniel's going to get there. I didn't tell you what chapter, though, did I? See, I can. Exodus. See, y'all waiting for the chapter, ain't you? You got to wait till I get there. Exodus chapter 16, verses 26 through 28. 6 days you shall gather it. Let's look up at verse 25. Then Moses said, you could say God said, because he's the he's the pastor. Then Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. Talking about the Sabbath day. 6 days, he said it again, 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Do we believe what God says? Now it happened that some of the people, not all the people, thank God, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but guess what? They found none. Man, if we just listened to what God said, we would find some on the right day, more than enough on the last day to rest on His day and just worship Him all day and be thankful. I'll raise my hand. I'm guilty. I do the same thing. God says do this, and I do the exact opposite. Guess what? There ain't going to be none that day. You can dig out there all you want to, look, sweat, groan, yell, scream, holler. God ain't going to put it there because He can't lie. He said it ain't going to be there. But there's going to be some that's going to go out there and test the waters, test the spirit, whether it be of God. Well, guess what? They listen to the wrong spirit right there. That's the spirit of the world saying you need something every day. No, God said, you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from my mouth, from God's mouth. That's what we got to live on. That's the manna we got to live on. Even after Moses told them what to do with the manna, some of them went out and did the exact opposite. As pastors, as shepherds, as Christians, there's going to be some that's going to do it. Love them, pray for them, because they're going to do it. They still came back. They went out, but they came back home, didn't they? God didn't kick them out of the camp. The law hadn't been instituted yet, but it was coming. Amen. Mercy. God's mercy. God the Father, here's the wisdom. God the Father, not Moses, was trying to show His people how much He loved them. Love by not giving them something on the last day? See, a lot of people look that way. But what did you get the day before? Twice as much. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, I want some more. Jimmy, Jimmy, my name's Jimmy. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Want more, want more. That's good if you want more of God. Let's want more of God. Amen? God was trying to show how much He loved them by providing for their physical needs, and He did. And there was nothing they needed to do to earn it. Just believe and receive. The same story He's saying today. Other than just believing and receiving, it's called trust. In the Old Testament, it's called trust. In the New Testament, it's called faith. Faith in God. Faith in His promises. The wilderness land. That's the growing. It's the growth part of your life as a Christian. You're learning to hear from God. You're learning to trust God. You're learning to crucify your flesh. I don't care what the flesh says. God says. You've got to go there. You've got to be in that wilderness, but you don't have to stay there. He was working on breaking that bondage that Pharaoh had been putting on him for 430 years. I was in debt, in credit card debt, for the majority of my married life before I met Christ. When I received Christ and got some wisdom on how to get out of the credit card debt, it didn't happen overnight, but it started because I quit using the card. Amen? Because God says you're supposed to be the lender, not the borrower. I didn't know that. Nobody told me that. Nobody that I was hanging with knew God. Thank God, He still loved me anyway. Amen? God the Father was showing His people how much He loved them. There was nothing they needed to do to earn it. He was breaking that bondage that Pharaoh had put them under for 430 years. He was working on it. He was working on them. He's working on me right now. He's working on you. Don't deny it. Don't rebel against it. Let Him work. It's a good work. The wilderness was not God's best, but it was God's test. Amen? We say James says God doesn't test man. Well, it says He doesn't test them with evil. God will test you at His word. Do you love me? Jesus says, feed my sheep. There's nothing evil in that. Now He's going to watch. Are you going to feed my sheep? If I don't feed the sheep, He's not going to give me no more revelation to feed them with. The good food. If I don't have good food to feed, guess what? People leave. I want the good stuff. Amen? You feed them the good stuff, they stay. Now, not all of them. Some of them are going to go on out. Because we're not here. Moses wasn't there to bring the whip and say, do this, do that. He was said, this is what God says do. If you do it, you live in the blessings. If you get outside the camp, you're in the world. Amen? God's best, that was not it, but it was a test of faith. The best was yet to come. Yet to come. If they could have looked around them in faith, they had the best already because they had everything they needed. They were protected from snake bites, scorpions. I hadn't lived in the wilderness, but I've seen some movies. They ain't good things out there. I've seen a lot of westerns. The wilderness is our discipleship stage. Discipleship. That's a word that a lot of people, we use it too loosely. Discipleship stage is children of God. That's the wilderness stage. It is where we grow up in the Lord. We walk with Him. We talk with Him. We grow up in Him. And we learn to fully rely on God. You ever seen the acronym FROG? Be a frog for God. Fully rely on God. Amen? Be a frog for Jesus. It's a good way to start a witness right there. What are you talking about, be a frog for Jesus? I'm going to fully rely on God. My God, the God that I can talk to and He answers me. And that's in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. We've got to rely on God. Amen? That's the three aspects of your life, of our life. That's the wilderness land. That's the tough land. That's the growing stage. You know, I've raised four kids and still raising four kids. And those, they call them the terrible twos, but I never claimed that because I claimed that God said my children are a blessing from the Lord. This is just a wilderness stage. I got to keep saying no. Daddy said no. Mama said no too. Thank the butt. Got to understand, that's bad for you. Down the road, it's gonna bring some understanding. Right now, they don't understand spanking. They just, all they understand is no. And they don't like that word no. Right? That's like the first word they say is no. It ain't mom. You want to be mom or daddy. They want to say no, mine. Mine. Second word to say, mine. Step three. Man, I got plenty of time. Uh-oh. I got another page. I thought this was just a one-page message. Christian growth. We get into the promised land. That's pretty fast, wasn't it, Pastor? How long were they out in the wilderness? 40 years. I'm not even going to keep you 40 minutes. We're going to get you from being born again, and I think everybody in here is born again, so we don't have to stay in that. We're not even in that stage anymore. But I think some of us might still be in the wilderness, right? And some of us are got our foot in the promised land, but we ain't got both feet in there yet. You know, Peter, when Jesus told him to come out on the water, you remember that song? Put one step in front of the other. Guess who remembered this? And soon you'll be walking out the door. It's an oldie. What's the title of it, Kelsey? I don't know. I just know the song. Land of Oz. Is it The Wizard of Oz? No. Put one step in front of the other. Soon you'll be walking out the door. We know what? Each step we take is a step of faith to that promised land. Peter had to take one step out of that boat. Once he took that one step, one foot was on the water, it was easy to get that second foot in there. Once we get one foot in the promised land, oh, man. You see, a lot of people want to straddle the fence. They get, the flesh is over here, and they want to get over here, but what's on the inside? See, that's the determining factor. How's your relationship with God? Because if you're not anchored and rooted and grounded in His Word, then the world's gonna look lovely to you instead of God looking lovely to you. And that sin of disobedience, it has pleasure for a season until your fruit runs out. Until your tree, the tree of life, you thought you were getting the fruit is death. In other words, there's nothing there. There's no fruit on it. Then it don't look so good. So you got to go to the root. The promised land. Egypt is a land of not enough. The wilderness is a land of just enough. The promised land, more than enough. God's ultimate plan from the beginning. Remember, He told the vision to Moses on the mountain. I'm going to take them to a land. Let's look in Exodus 3. Y'all think I said this? No, God said this. You've got a promised land. I've got a promised land. And it's out there. And we need to be in it. Exodus 3, verses 7 through 8. I want to take you up to Exodus 3. Let's look in verse 5. God talking to Moses, and He said to him, "Do not draw near this place." This is after, you know, he drew him by the bush that was burning. It looked like it was burning, but it wasn't. It says, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." I've heard Kenneth Copeland, they say this, that, you know, why did God say take your shoes off? Just want to see if Moses would just listen to him. Just be obedient. Just a little food for thought there. Somebody asks you to take your, if God asks you to take your feet off, don't take your feet off. If He asks you to take your sandals off your feet, Lord, I'll take my shirt off my back. What else do you need? Because God is holy. In Him there is no darkness, no shadow of turning. It's all good. I'll give Him the shirt off my back. He actually asked us to do that. If somebody asks for your tunic, not only do that, but give them your shoes, feed them. If the enemy is hungry, feed them. Go the extra mile. Back then, Moses would have had to climb two mountains. That'd been tough, wouldn't it? Climb one mountain, he said, go the extra mile. Whew. Moses was probably in pretty good shape. Amen. If you did some mountain climbing. I don't like climb mountains. I like to fly, get to the top of that mountain. I never finished reading that, did I? Moreover, verse 6, he said, God said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry. Because of their taskmasters, for I know," he says, "I know their sorrows." That word sorrows is the same word for pain. Jesus knew our pain and our sorrows when He hung on that cross. He was, in other words, He had a relationship with that sorrow and that pain. God felt their pain. A lot of people will say, well, you know, going through stuff, where was God in all this? He was right in the pain with you. He felt it, but He needed somebody to speak His word. He needed a deliverer, somebody that would stand against Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." Period. End of story. Why? Because if you don't, God's going to get in your stuff. Good way to say it. God's going to come against your gods that you're serving. Because every god, every plague that happened was a god that Pharaoh was worshiping. It was causing his people, Pharaoh's people, which is still God's people, to be in bondage. Jesus is acquainted with our sorrows and our griefs. Amen. And He is there to deliver us.
Amen.
He has delivered us.
Amen.
And He will never leave us.
Amen.
To continue to deliver us. And I've got family right now that needs deliverance.
Yes.
From substance abuse, from pain, from loss of hope. And I'm asking God to continually daily to open up those doors that I can lead them to freedom. And that's what His church is there for. That's what you're here for. The promised land is the land of more than enough, and that's what I need to go on down there in verse 8. So I have come down to deliver them after he heard their cry from the hand of the Egyptians. We ought to say from the hand of the devil in our age, because that's the spirit that Pharaoh was under. There's only two families on this earth. You're either a sinner or a saint. You're either saved or you ain't. Keep it simple. They're either serving God. If they're not serving God, they're the father of the devil. They're in his system. Amen. Don't need to break down denominations. Just make it two. You're either lost or you're saved. You either have Christ or you don't. There's no other ways to God. One way. Jesus is the way. We got to say what God says. We ain't making this comfortable. This is not a comfortable gospel. It's the truth. Right? So I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites. Did I say that right? And the Hivites and the Jebusites. That's a lot of ites. Amen. But you know what? God conquered them all. He conquered them all. One by one. Don't look at your failures that you've lost. Conquer them one by one. In Christ, you can do all things. Step out of the boat one at a time. We're going to win others to Christ one soul at a time. One at a time. This was the plan of God. That was the ultimate plan right there that he told Moses. See, God always gives a vision. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Moses had to have a vision that was bigger than him. And he had a God that was bigger than him. And God revealed himself and said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're dead, but I'm still their God because he never dies. So he showed Moses who he was right then. And all he had to do was ask Jethro, and Jethro would give him, his father-in-law, would give him some background on Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm sure he already had, because he was sharing in 40 years in the wilderness there. He was teaching Moses how to be a shepherd. And that had to come from history of how God had taught him. And he was a priest of Midian. He was a priest. He knew God. Jethro knew God. Amen? God sent Moses right to the right place. He had everything prepared for him out there in the wilderness. This was the plan of God for the children of Israel from the beginning. And God did not say right there it would take 40 years. He just said one sentence, to a land flowing of milk and honey. He didn't put all the in-betweens, because guess what? That's my choice. That's your choice. God says, get born again. Sit down and get to know me. I better not yet. We ain't got there yet. 40 years it took them. And it would take them, because the result of disobedience.
Yes, right.
Disobedience.
Yes.
To their pastor, to their shepherd, you might as well just say to God. See, Gary, he's not accountable to me, he's accountable for me. What I do, what he says, it's out of his hands then. He's saying what God says. It's up to me to receive his instruction to do this fast. He's not accountable to me, but he's accountable to God. He's accountable for what he said. He said what God said. Now, we need to take what he said and just act on it, and there'll be a blessing in that, of fasting. It'll deepen your relationship with God, not just next week, but for the weeks and years to come. Amen? Because he'll always be faithful. Everything we do for him, he doesn't forget. He's writing a book. It's a good book, all the good things. He tears out the pages of all the bad stuff because he said he'd never remember them. As long as we come to Jesus, they're forgiven. Now, we need to confess, get the devil off our back, because if we don't confess it, that opens up the door for the devil to come in. But God, he tears out the bad pages and he's writing a good book. Your story is being written. But let's put some extra pages in there for him. You know, let's put some introductions and some, just some extra, how would you say that in a book? Do some extra things for God. Just surprise him. He would be like, wow, I didn't know you were going to say that, do that. You can't surprise him with that fact, but just, you know what I'm saying? Just get him to go, wow, I didn't know you were going to do that for me. 40 years of disobedience. God's plan is the same for each of us here today. To bring us into His promised land. And the land of more than enough. Whether you're just born again, a baby Christian, or whether you're mature in the Lord. I look at Miss Jean and Dr. Price because they're older in the Lord than I am. There's no age restriction on when you get to that promised land. And there's no year restriction. Amen? Because the bridge has already been built. Jesus built it. You don't have to go through the Red Sea. You walk in Christ Jesus. Because that's where he built the bridge. Amen? He built the bridge to that promised land. And all we have to do is believe and receive and rest in His Word. But, here's a but. God said if. I said but. But to be successful and walk in His blessings, we must not bypass the wilderness. I didn't hear everybody shout on that one. That's the growing stage. You know, as a child, Ruth or Dallas or Kelsey might experience this. I probably did. There's time we have growing pains in our body, especially I think guys when their feet, their shoes just say. You know, sometimes it's like growing. There's some pain. There's something that maybe an ache or a pain, but it's actually something growing. But it's okay because it's growing. Now, don't go to the extreme on that. Don't suffer. But I'm saying sometimes it might just be a little pain, but something just grew there. Don't bypass the pains in your life. That's the time to grow in Christ. I'm talking about persecution for what you believe in. You know, this nation, there's a lot of things I don't like that's being said, but you know what? I believe in God, and I believe He created this nation, and the foundation it was created on, that's where I stand. That's where we stand. And as a nation, that's where we have to stand. And as a church, that's where we have to stand. And we don't let the world come here and decide how it's going to be. We let God come in here and let Him decide how it's going to be. And that's how the enemy gets driven out. Don't bypass the wilderness, which is where we build our relationship with God. I mean, thank God. 40 years, there was time that God fed them supernaturally. Manna, day by day, cloud by day, fire by night. 40 years. Of His supernatural miracle-working power. And you would have think they would have been running to the promised land sharing all this, but they didn't. Didn't but two, Joshua and Caleb, those that believed, he led the generation that didn't. That generation had to die out there. I don't want to die in the wilderness. We're not going to die in the wilderness. We're going to make it to the... We are in the promised land. Amen? If you ain't there yet, keep going. If you got one foot in, get ready to bring the other in. When you get both feet in, help somebody else get there. Amen. Amen. God said He blessed us to be a blessing. Right. He's taking us to the promised land so we can get somebody else there. Amen. And if they've been saying you're ridiculous and you're too extreme and you're a fanatic, keep saying it. Keep loving them because one day they're going to come to us. Amen. And they're going to say, I want to know the Jesus that you know. Amen. I'll say, come on in. The door's wide open. What do you want to know? How much time you got? 40 years? You got 40 years? If so be, let it be 40 years. I'll spend 40 years with you. God didn't run out on them 40 years. He was right there with them. He called them stiff-necked. Stiff-necked and rebellious, but He still loved them. Amen? I have some things I want to say about certain people. My flesh wants to say, but my spirit loves them. Amen? We have to watch those words. Build your relationship there in the wilderness, because once Joshua led them over the Jordan into the promised land, the manna ceased once they ate of the corn. That's one page. And after that corn came, the miracle ceased. The manna ceased. Now it was time for them to live by faith. In other words, everything they've learned from God, put it into action. Now it's time for where like the rubber meets the road. Take what you've learned. You've grown up in the Lord. Now you go out and you do these things in my name. Jesus gave us commission. You lay hands on the sick. You cast out devils. You speak with new tongues. Freely you have received, freely give. Give them love. Amen. Don't give them the whip. Don't whip them with the mouth. That's the task. That's what Pharaoh, that's what the world does. You can find a lot of that on TV. It's on all kind of channels. You can't find many of the good channels, but they're out there. They're out there, but there's a lot of us out there. Might not be on TV, but we out in the world. And if we get scattered in one place, we'll just go somewhere else and multiply. Amen? Amen. Wherever you are, wherever you're going to go, wherever you at, multiply for God. Let His blessings come out of your mouth. We've got to live by faith, and we do that by reaping what we sow. If you don't like what you're sowing, change. If you don't like what you're growing, change what you're sowing. And that's in every aspect, spirit, soul, and body. That comes from our mouth, right? From our lips. By reaping what they would sow in the ground is living by faith. And another point right there, the promised land is where the giants are. Talk about Goliath, his brothers. Back then they were huge giants. You know, there's still some, you know, that seed kind of went on a little bit. You think about Andre the Giant, if you remember any wrestling. You know, that's about what they were looking at. Maybe a little bit taller, maybe didn't look quite as good as Andre did. Andre looked, you know, pretty decent. These giants, they had to face, they had the swords and the armor and probably hadn't had a bath in about 2 months, 2 years. You can smell them coming, right, Larry? You get a bad wind, you know what's coming. You could probably hear them coming because they're probably cussing and swearing and all this stuff because what? They didn't know God. They were giants. People feared them until a David stood up with a sling and a stone that represented his faith and trust and covenant with Almighty God. It takes a revolution. It takes one man some time to stand up, but then there got others back there that's been in the wilderness, but they're right there with you when you want to jump in. They need a leader. There's a Moses out there. There's a David out there. There's others wanting to go, but they just don't have that courage and strength. But God's continually raising up Darius is out there. Just going to go for the gold. He's going to go and give all he's got and not back down. Amen? He's going to take it to those giants. That giant might be your competitor in a race. It might be your boss. You might be after his pay scale. It might be your giant. I mean, you love him, but you're going after a spirit. You got a spirit of excellence. You're going after what God, that promised land. You won't take no for an answer. You do it the right way. Do it God's way. The giants in the land, that's the devil's bunch. That's his crowd. And before we can defeat the devil, we must go back to the wilderness experience, and we have got to know God. Because Jesus said, if you're apart from the vine, I'm not going to have his strength. Jesus says, he is the vine, I'm the branch. You get apart from the vine, I'm going to wither away in my own strength. It might not happen in a day, might not happen in a week, but I'm going to get weak. Amen. You got to stay hooked up to those that know God, trust God, come to church. But after church, you still got to surround yourself with those that are for God and not for the world. Know God, and that's not enough. It's not enough to know God. You got to know Jesus. You have got to know Jesus because He is our mediator to the Father. He's our direct connect that connects us right to the Father and all He has to offer. Old Testament people didn't have to have Jesus. They had to have a trust in God. We have to have Jesus. He has came and He built that bridge back to God the Father. In closing, if you've been taking notes, fine. If you want to take notes, here's 3 points that will help you in your Christian growth. Just 3, but there's a lot of in-betweens. Amen. I'm going to say three, but the in-between, God, you know, you're going to fill in. One, you must be born again. This can help others that are not born again. Well, once they get born again, you can help them. Number two, you have got, we've got to become a disciple. And one last scripture here in Matthew 28. I know why Kelsey got ahead, because I gave her a copy, Pastor. I forgot about that till just now. That was good, wasn't it, Pastor? Help her out back there. Know where I'm going. I'll let her come up here and close this message out, shouldn't I? Oh, she's shaking her head no. You can do it, though. God says you can. Matthew 28:18-20. One, Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again to know the things of God, the kingdom of God. To the world, you can't see it. You can't know it. It's not going to be delivered to you. You must be born again. After Jesus died, was resurrected from the dead, and believed on Him, you are born again. What must man do to be born again? Just believe. Believe that Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, and is risen. Once you do that, Matthew 28:18-20 says, and I didn't say this, Jesus said this, Jesus came and spoke to them. He's speaking to you right now. Because you're a disciple. You've got to determine to be a disciple. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, Daniel, Darius, Cindy, Vicky, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. Can you say, I can baptize them? Yes, you can. If Jesus says you can, you can. You don't need a degree. You just need faith to do what He says to do. If somebody gets born again, they want to get baptized, don't let that hinder you. Go take them and dip them somewhere. Because they have a zeal, do it. God will honor it. Baptize them. Take them, put them in the shower. Take them to the bathtub. Take them to a jacuzzi. That's where two of mine, I baptized them. Put them in the jacuzzi. It was right. Amen? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus ain't through yet. Teaching them to observe all. Not just getting born again. He just didn't say Nicodemus get born again. Jesus said a lot of things. He said to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you to back it up what I said. In other words, He said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He said, you'll speak with new tongues. You got to pray for them to believe for getting filled with the Spirit. Lay hands on the sick. Believe that God can open the eyes of the blind. Whatever Jesus said and did and operated in, He said, you can do it. In His authority. Not in my ability. It's when I go out in the wilderness and get to know God. See, you're not going to do these things unless you believe it. And you're not going to believe it unless you hear it. Because faith comes by hearing. Amen? And hearing by the Word of God. And when you hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it, and then you believe it, guess what? You're going to go out and you're going to do it. And God's going to back it up. He's going to make it happen in somebody else's life. Amen? Once you do that, make a point of verse 20 to be filled with the Spirit. And if you haven't been filled with the Spirit, Jesus is the baptizer. And we're here to pray with you. If you need to be baptized today, can't do it in water. We'd have to fill it up. But if you needed to, we'd line it up, wouldn't we, Pastor? If you need to get baptized in water, we can fill this pool up. If you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, because it comes right with it, we're here to agree and pray, and Jesus is the one that baptizes you. He says when He does that, you will have power to be a witness. Not only will you be born again, but you have power to go against the enemy. Because number three, the third thing you're going to do is you're going to go get suited up, and we're going to go get our stuff. That's going to the promised land. In other words, in the book of Ephesians, it says, done all this, stand therefore in your suit of armor, your helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, your belt of truth, your feet shod with the gospel of peace. You got your sword in your hand. You got the shield of faith ready to go. You ready to take on the devil, right? You don't go before you go through the wilderness. You got to build a relationship with God. But once you do that, there ain't nothing the devil can do to stop you. And he's defeated. But we have to enforce that defeat. Can you say amen? Amen. I hear some Goliaths going to be defeated in here. I hear some giants getting defeated in here. Because I've delivered to you what God gave me to deliver. And He is raising up some deliverers in here. He's been working on you. He's been training you through His Word, through pastors, through the church here. And there's some giants just screaming and cussing at you. But I see some Davids out here ready to say, you come with me with a spear. I come with you in the name of the Lord Jehovah. Amen? With His Word. And you're going to cut His head off. And you're going to get Him out of the way. And you're going to lead others to the promised land. Because you got faith in a God that hears and answers your cry of His people. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, I just thank You, Lord, for this Word. We thank You, Father God, that all these people, Your people sitting here, Lord, they are more than conquerors. They are more than conquerors because, Jesus, You have conquered death, hell, and the grave. And, Lord, I thank You, Father God, the battle is Yours. It is not ours, it's Yours. Our battle is to trust You, believe You, and speak forth Your Word. So, Father, I just thank You right now for the anointing of increase and the anointing of wisdom right now to Your people. And I just thank You, Father God, that You are continually raising us up to be mighty conquerors for You. And we thank You for that right now in Your mighty name, in the mighty name of Jesus. You say amen? Amen. Amen. Thank You, Lord.